bunch of people is going to get saved. I've hardly ever seen any real professions of faith at a funeral. I'm serious. I used to try to take funerals as evangelistic, make it into evangelistic service and try to get people to get it saved. I found it hardly ever works. It hardly ever works. And so what I do now at a funeral, I try to comfort and give hope to the ones that are left behind, saved or lost. And that may encourage the lost to get saved. But don't think just because you died and left this testimony that you wanted the preacher to preach something that you didn't live and that you didn't practice and that you didn't preach. Don't think that they're going to get saved just because the preacher stands up and preaches that message you should have preached before you died.
Amen.
Amen. I get tired of it. I get tired of it. People want me to come run and rescue them while they're living, and then some of them want me to rescue their family after they're dead. Well, I've got news for you. God gave that job to you. You need to get to work. And that's what he was telling them. He said they've got the word of God and you should have given it to them, and if they didn't hear the word of God then, they're not going to hear it now just because you're in hell, because they're not in hell. You are. Amen. Come on, help me. There's more preached about hell in the Bible than there is heaven. There's more preached about, listen, there's more preached about damnation and fire and everlasting punishment than there is about comfort and heaven and singing in heaven and seeing the things of heaven. God wants you to know more about hell because he's trying to warn us. There's a wonderful place to go, but there's a worse place you might go if you reject this, you're going to go. Amen. And so he preaches at him. He said, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead.
Amen.
You say, preacher, what does that mean? He said, send Lazarus over there. He said, well, let me tell you something. If they didn't believe the word of God, if Lazarus is raised from the dead and goes to their house and knocks on the door, they're not going to believe it. If they made excuses before he died, they'll make excuses after he resurrects. They'll say, he never really died. They just thought he was dead. Don't they say stuff like that? I read the other day where a man had been dead, pronounced dead for, days and days and days, and people got to praying and the man started breathing again. And of course believers say that's a miracle, but the unbeliever says, nah, he wasn't really dead, he was just unconscious and his heartbeat was so low and his blood pressure was so low you couldn't see it, and therefore he wasn't really dead, so it ain't no miracle. And then there's even a better example. Jesus did rise from the dead. 3 days and three nights, and he walked out of that grave and he went and talked to people and they still don't believe it. And he said, if they don't believe that, they're not going to believe if you rise from the dead and go tell your family either. So I got thinking about it. Hell is a place of future punishment, destruction from the present. Described as everlasting fire, everlasting burnings, fire, furnace of fire, lake of fire, fire and brimstone, unquenchable fire, and devouring fire. Now everybody's carrying around signs saying it ain't fair. Well, I got news for you. God don't have to be fair. God's holy. And here's a rich man that died and went to hell, and a poor old beggar who never had anything. And listen, certainly he couldn't do any good works to merit. He couldn't give any money to the temple. He couldn't raise up funds to put a new bell in the bell tower or anything like that. He sat around begging for crumbs from the rich man's table. There was nothing this man could do to merit any kind of reward from God himself except trust. The other man had money. He could do a lot of things. But this man had nothing. And then he died, and this man who had, there was no reason for him to go to heaven. He had never done one good work. He was a poor beggar. Amen? He couldn't do anything for anybody. He couldn't do anything for himself. And if works would get you to heaven, this man wasn't going to go. And here's a rich man. I know he funneled money down there to the temple or down there to the rabbi or wherever he was sending. You know he did. Rich people will do that. They'll send money to the church and things like that. And they're trying to do something to go to heaven. They'll buy a pew. They'll buy a new steeple. They'll buy maybe a new bus for the church or something. And surely if God's fair, he's got to let them go to heaven, right? But he don't. It's like the day we live in, it's like two little old kids, you know, and they're fighting over a toy, and mama grabs the toy and takes it away from both of them, and they say, that ain't fair. Grow up. Life is not fair. And the older you get, the more you're going to see that. Life is not fair. The only thing fair about life is you came in naked and poor and you'll go out naked and poor. Amen. You ain't taking nothing with you. There's no U-Haul going down to the cemetery. Amen. They're not going to bury your money with you. If they did, somebody know it and go dig it up. Amen. Life is not fair. But God is holy and God is just. And if God is going to be holy and he's going to be just, he must have a hell. He must have a hell. I heard a man on the radio the other day say that God's not just or there wouldn't be a hell. And the radio announcer said the holiness of God demands a hell. The holiness of God. If right is right and wrong is wrong and right is rewarded, wrong must. Wrong must. Be punished. So that's what's wrong in our country today. There is no punishment for anything. Look at Matthew 25:41. Look at Matthew 25:41. Matthew 25:41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Number one, I want you to know that hell is not your place. Hell, did you hear me? Hell is not your place. Nobody ever went to hell that belonged there. Well, wait a minute, preacher, that's a contradiction. No, it's not. Go back and read it. It was prepared for who? The devil and his angels. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. I'm not going to wait on you if you want to mark it or go back to it later. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4 says this: for if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be preserved unto judgment. Do you see that? Hell is for the angels that have followed Satan to rebel against God. It's not for the holy, but for the unholy. Did you know that even lost people, one of the punishments of hell is when people who are unbelievers go to hell, when you get there, you'll realize, just like this man, that ain't where you ought to be. It's not your place. It wasn't prepared. God never made hell for one human being, not one. So if you die in unbelief, God must send you somewhere besides heaven, so he sent you to hell, and it was not prepared for you. It's prepared for the devil and his angels that rebelled against God. And so therefore, when you go, you're out of place. And that's part of the torment. Think about this. Listen to me. Are you listening? To spend all eternity in a place that you know and being punished, and you know that punishment, that place was not for you but for somebody else, but you chose to go there anyway, knowing there was a better place that was prepared for you. If you go back, and we're going to read it a few Wednesdays about the Lamb's Book of Life and the Book of Life in Heaven. There's two books there. Everybody's name's put in the Book of Life. When you're born, your name goes in the Book of Life. Everybody. That means you're alive. You were born. And look, go back and read it, and then we get our names put in the Lamb's Book of Life when we get saved. And then at the judgment, whenever the people are judged, the lost people are judged, not us, ours was on the cross. When the lost people get judged, it says their names were blotted out. You see what I'm saying? He wanted you in heaven. He wanted you to go to heaven. He had prepared a place for everybody. Heaven wasn't just prepared for the disciples or the apostles. Heaven is a place prepared for everybody. And if you don't go, it's because you choose not to go, and God must put you somewhere, so he puts you in hell where you don't belong. And that's part of the punishment. God's not, the Bible says it, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Wasn't anybody born to go to hell, no matter what some jackleg theologian or preacher tells you. Nobody was born to go to hell. Everybody was born to go to heaven. And you make a conscious decision to go against the will of God and go to a place he did not prepare for you. And that is part of the punishment forever and ever and ever. Not just the pain, not just the torment, not just the fire, but during all that, remembering God didn't want me to come here. God made a place for me in heaven, and I refused it. Number two, Revelation 20, verse 10. Turn over there. I want you to look at it. Revelation 20, verse 10. Revelation 20. I'm going to go ahead and read it. I'm running out of time. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. Are you there? He just didn't stop it ever. Forever and ever. Time on time. Now, when people die and go to hell, there is no escape. But at the same time, there's no end either. Now, he told that rich man, he said, look here, you're over there in hell, and you can't come over here. There's a great gulf. There's a great space. And of course, those of you that know the Bible know paradise now has been moved to heaven. But after Jesus died, he took those Old Testament saints who couldn't go to heaven because nobody died for them. And then after he died, he went down there and preached to the captives. And he left captivity captive. He took them, they got to go to heaven. So now it's just hell. There's no paradise next door. But there's a great gulf between hell down there and heaven up there too. And it's forever. Now there's a crooked bunch of religious teachers. And they're crooks. You listen to me. They're crooks. I know that's not sophisticated. And I know it doesn't sound very educated. And I know it doesn't sound very cultured. But there's a bunch of stinking crooks running around this country leading people to a devil's hell. And some of them are even teaching people. And I'm talking about religious leaders. I'm not talking about the bar owner, the drug dealer, the prostitute, the homosexual guy that's persuading little boys, little girls. I'm talking about religious people who are supposed to know the Bible. They're running around here and they're telling people, well, you know, yeah, but if you go to hell, we can get somebody baptized in your name to get you out. That's what the Mormons teach them. Yeah, but if you go to hell, you can go down there to the church, and that guy with the backward collar on, who's never been married, he shouldn't have any children, but he calls himself Father, he can pay and pray and get them out of that purgatory and get them up to heaven. He's a crook, he's a liar, he's a thief, and any Baptist preacher ever tell you any different, he's a crook. And a liar and a thief too. They're making merchandise of men's souls. That's what Peter said. Making merchandise of men's souls. For the love of money, they'll say anything, do anything. And these people are destroying our families. Amen. There is no end to hell. There is no escape from hell. Amen. It's forever and ever and ever. It is never ending. Now, you say, preacher, I just don't believe that. Well, anytime you and the Bible disagree, you're always wrong. You're always wrong. I don't always like what the Bible says, but I always agree with it. Amen? The Bible's always right, and if we disagree, we're always wrong. Always. But, see, these people want to convince you, or at least give an insinuation that somehow this punishment might end. But that's not what the Bible says. Hell is forever. Now, when you get to thinking like that, you can't think of your loved one going to hell. You know, we've got loved ones that have went to the hospital on death's bed without last breath. And God intervened and raised them up. And I always say at the hospital or anywhere like that, I always say, wherever there's breath, there's hope. And God will give them a little reprieve. They may not deserve it, but God will have mercy on them and raise them up. There's always hope. Amen? In any tragedy on planet Earth, any tragedy, whatever you're going through. Right now we got poor Bud, he's going through stuff. And my daughter Becky and Miss Jean and others, they're going through sickness and things like that. Danny's daddy's up there in ICU right now. Where you at, Danny? Raise your hand. His daddy's up there in ICU right now. But I told his daddy the last time I saw him, as long as you're breathing, I'm hoping. I'm never going to give up. My mama just turned 98. And I've had three doctors tell me, just let her go. Let her die. Three different occasions. Three doctors, probably over 10 years. And every one of them, I said, no, sir, that ain't happening. I'm not ready for my mama to go to heaven. As long as there's breath, there's hope. And I sat over there and ate it was some kind of other kind of cake. Somebody brought her some cake the other day. And me and her sat over and ate cake. Amen. Amen. Hey, but I got news for you. When a loved one goes to hell, there's no more hope. There's no more prayer. There's no more intercession. Are y'all cold? My feet's cold. Don't worry about it. It's going to get hot in a minute. Listen, how in the world could we raise little babies and just let them go? And let them grow up to be any old thing. And boy, I look at our nation on the evening news, and if you don't watch it, you're probably better off. But if you do, you'll get disheartened. And I look at those people, and some of them are weird and perverted and ungodly. But I have to keep reminding myself, that's somebody's baby. That is somebody's daughter. That's somebody's son doing that. Where in the world did they go wrong? Something happened. And in Sunday school, I told it, it's all about fatherhood, but we're not going to get on that. But how could I let my children die and go to a devil's hell, knowing they'd never get out, knowing the punishment? How could I let my grandchildren die and go to a devil's hell, knowing there's no end and it's forever? Amen. And the punishment. How could I do that, bro? You see, the problem is, I've never been in another church. They've never let me preach in another church. I ain't preached in many Baptist churches. I did preach a camp meeting one time. They never asked me back. But I know Baptist. And how in the world can our Baptist churches be full of people and their children be going to hell? And we claim to believe in hell. And their grandchildren be going to hell. And we claim to believe in hell. You know what? If somebody came in here today with an incurable disease and throwed it out here on the floor, you'd grab everybody you love and get out of here as quick as you could. I mean, one of those bombs they make, you know, with the germs and all that that kill people. Hey, if we threw one out here in Florida today, you'd do whatever it took. You'd climb over top of people. You'd climb over pews. You'd knock people out of the way. You'd do whatever you had to do to grab the one you love and get out of here as quick as you could. If this place caught on fire, you'd knock people down. You'd forget your manners. You'd forget everything and everybody except that one you love, and you'd make a beeline to that one you love, and you'd drag them out of here at the risk of your own life. And yet, people sit in Baptist churches every Sunday, and their children ain't even with them. They don't care enough to make their children. Well, I don't want to fuss with them. If you knew they was going to go in a house on fire, you'd fuss with them. Well, I don't want to make them dislike church. My mama drugged me to church, and it made me dislike church. Yeah, but you got enough sense to know there's a heaven, there's a hell now. You know how to make a conscious choice. You ain't even giving your own children the same opportunity. Don't get quiet now. I'm just starting. Wait till I get on. Listen, everybody, about two-thirds of this church has grandchildren. Where they at? I hope they're in church today. I pray. Now, I've gotten mine out of state. I can't make them go. When they were in this state, they were in this church. And look, I pray and beg and everything else to get them in church where they're at. But I got news for you. If my grandchildren was in this building and it caught on fire, I'd run right over top of you and everybody else to get my grandchildren out of here so they wouldn't die and burn up in a terrible way to die. I'd jump pews. I'd knock over furniture. I'd forget my how distinguished I'm supposed to be. I'd forget about you. And I'd get my grandyoungins and I'd get out of here. How in the world do we let our grandchildren go to hell? You say, well, I can't say much because if I say anything, I'll offend their parents. Well, their parents maybe need offending. If it's your child and they're going to hell, your child certainly needs offending by you. You need to tell them. My grandchildren need to be in church. And look, you'll notify the devil. And if you'll ever do this, you'll fight for them. You'll just look at the devil one day and say, devil, my grandchildren ain't going to hell. I'll fight. I'll fuss. I'll lose friends. I'll lose family. I'll do whatever I've got to do. But I'm not letting you have my grandchildren. And I'm not letting you have my children. Or not letting you have my wife. Or not letting you have my husband, my brother, my sister. I don't care if it offends them. I don't care if they all get mad at me. I'm going to warn them and I'm going to drag them. And a Jude says, compel them. You really believed in hell, you couldn't leave them at home. Boy, I wish mine lived close enough. I'd go by and get them. Well, that might offend their daddy. I don't care. I don't care. I lost all my old friends. You know why? Because when I got saved, I told them about being saved. Amen. And you know what the devil told me? You're going to run them off. No, they was leaving anyway. I'm glad I got to tell them before they left. Amen? Amen. Now, my mama, listen to this. My mama got saved when I was, I guess, 12, 13, 14. I don't really remember. But I know I came in one day and found her praying. She had a Bible, and I'd never seen that before. And then she quit cussing, except when she was real mad. And she quit cussing when I was a teenager, and she quit drinking. And those men quit coming around that used to come around, you know, and they didn't ride us around the back seat anymore late at night drinking liquor and all that stuff. All that quit. Every bit of that quit. And I felt good about my mom because of that. I didn't know what happened. She never told us. She never explained it. I just thought it was going to church. But, you know, the church she went to, listen to this, the church she went to, when I was 21, I got married. Let's just say 14. From the time 14, 21. Did you know the pastor of that church never knocked on our door and invited me and my little brother to church? You know the deacons from that church never knocked on our door and invited me and my little brother to church? You know the Sunday school teachers never knocked on our door and invited me and my brother to church? Much less witness to us. I'd probably been preaching 5 or 6 years before I ever stepped foot in her church because for her. And I had no respect for those people. I thought all those years, I was in danger of hell fire burning forever and ever and ever and being cast into the lake of fire and all that. And all those years I thought, but nobody down there at that church ever give a hoot. Now I'm telling y'all folks, if we really believe people going to hell, it'll change our motives and our moves. We will do things. Now, I'm not preaching today mainly to people that's going to hell. I'm preaching to people that know they're not going to hell. Amen. Yeah. Sure. You know why? We're not doing the job to get the ones that are going to hell in here. Amen. We've got family members. We've got children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters and husbands and wives who are right now sitting at home. and they need this message more than anything else. We don't really believe in hell like the Bible says. We really don't. And you know what you're going to do? If you live long enough, and I'm preaching at my church. Are y'all listening to me?
Amen.
If you live long enough and you outlive that person you claim to love that you've never witnessed to, you've never went out of your way or suffered some inconvenience to try to keep them out of hell and get them in church, whatever. If you live long enough, you're going to outlive that person. And then you know what you're going to want me to do? You're going to want me to preach a sermon about heaven at that funeral. And do you know how hard that is on a pastor to preach a sermon about somebody that went to hell and there was very little doubt, and yet you want me to preach them into heaven, or you want me to make you feel better about them dying, and I can't do it. I can't do it. Do you know the burden, how heavy that burden is? To try to comfort people who knew their loved one was going to hell and they never did a stinging thing about it, and then they died and they rolled them in here in a box, and you want me to comfort you? He said, "Father Abraham, send Lazarus down to my house and have him tell my five brothers not to come here." And Abraham said, "It's too late." See, our loved ones are going to die, and those who are not saved go to hell, whether you believe that or not. It's a terrible thing to say. But you're going to want the church to go down to your house and do what you wouldn't do and try to tell those that's there that's still living that they need God and they need to be saved and they need the church not to go to hell. And you know what I'm going to say? I'll do it, but probably ain't going to make much difference because you didn't. You say, "Pastor, you're being mean." No, I'm being honest. I've witnessed to my loved ones. I've seen some of them saved. I suffered. Hey, I endured to get my children saved. And I'm praying, and I baptized my oldest granddaughter, and I'm praying for the others that they'll get saved. Even my step-granddaughter's saved. And I went after your family trying to get them saved. But don't think that just because that pastor showed up, who they think is paid to do that. You know, lost people think I'm paid to come over and do that. Don't think just because I do it, they're going to get saved. Father Abraham, send the preacher Lazarus down to my house, that he can witness to my five brethren. Are you listening? Ain't nothing funny. Are you listening? You know what would be the biblical way for you to get right and really believe in hell and tell them yourself? You know, if they see a few tears coming from your eyes about them going to hell, it would sure make a better impression than some stranger, and they see him stand up here and weep and cry and holler and fuss and rant. It'd make a bigger impression if you'd go to them and say, "Honey, listen, I'm saved. I'm going to heaven." And then you look at them and say, "You," they say, "Honey, don't worry about me. I'll be all right." You look at them and you say, "No, you're not all right. Without Jesus, you're going to hell. I don't want you to go to hell. And I'll do whatever I got to do to keep you out of hell. What can I do?" It's not a party in hell. It's not a peaceful place in hell. It's not an alternative state of being. It's painful, and it's ugly, and it's nasty, and it's forever. But you know, there is some good news. There always is, isn't there? There is some good news. Listen, I'll tell you one thing. In Matthew, I think it's 16:18. Turn over there, Matthew 16:18. Now, I'm not being mean to you. It's just that God's given me enough courage today to tell you the truth. he told old Peter. He said, "Peter, who do men say that I am?" And Peter said, I think there, verse 17, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Peter, I got some good news for you. Flesh and blood didn't show you that. But my Father, which is in heaven." Now, you know why you're saved and going to heaven today if you are. I don't know who's saved other than me. I know I'm saved. I don't know about you. I don't know your heart. I go by what you say. But you know how I know I'm saved? There's three ways. Number one, the Word of God. Number two is the Spirit of God. And number three is the peace of God. Now, I realize people look at me and say, "Boy, you're going to go to hell. You don't quit doing that." And I say, "Yeah, I'm probably going to hell. Everybody knows going to hell. We're going to have a party." You know, that wasn't true. And I didn't believe it when I said it. And you don't either. But, hey, here's what really made a difference. When God, the Holy Ghost himself, through somebody else's mouth, and the Word of God, preached, witnessed, taught, maybe in a song, the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, came through that and touched my heart and my soul, and I felt the presence of a living God. And that day when I invited him in, he came in. And I didn't get religion. I don't have any candles. I don't got any pictures at my house. I don't have any statues. There ain't none around here. I got born again by the blood of Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God. I was regenerated. My mind was open. My eyes were open. I can see it now. That's the good news. I don't have to go to hell. I'm saved. And did you know that the people you love that you're worried about, that's exactly what they need? They don't need to quit drinking liquor. A lot of people don't go. A lot of people drink liquor. You know, a lot of people drink liquor. But that ain't why they're going to hell. It's bad to quit to drink liquor. I mean, to be a good person, you need to quit drinking liquor. To be a good Christian, you need to quit drinking liquor. But it won't save you. And see, the old devil's got you all wrapped up in their sins and their faults, and that's what you see. If they get saved, he'd be a better husband. Yeah, he would be, but that ain't the problem. Being a husband ain't the problem. Well, if she gets saved, she'd be a better wife. Yes, she would be, but that ain't the problem, that she's a bad wife. Well, if they get saved, my child would be a better child. They'd love me more. Yeah, they would. They'll treat you better. But that's not the trouble. The trouble is they've never met God. Y'all still with me? You know, the problem with a lot of churches, they want to clean the fish before they ever catch them. You know, and that's trouble with a lot of churches with sinners. They want to clean them up before they ever get them saved. You get them saved, their mind and their heart and their spirit will change, and their life will change. It will be obvious. Amen? But see, you're so busy fussing at that youngin' because of one particular sin, what you need to do is talk about hell. And you're so busy fussing that husband because of his one particular sin, what you need to do is talk to him about hell and heaven. Jesus Christ. There is no end in hell. Hell has no end. It's not like your husband is different. He's going to drop off to hell and get out next week. He's not. Your wife's not getting out next week. Your children not getting out next week. It's not like going to jail and serving your time. It's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And Revelation chapter 20 verse 10 says this, and this is my last verse, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. They belong there, but you don't. And your children don't belong in hell. And your grandchildren don't belong in hell. And your brother doesn't belong in hell. Your sister doesn't belong in hell. Husband, wives, no one belongs in hell. And the only reason they go to hell may be because nobody ever told them. Well, I was afraid I'd offend them. Yes, you will. They will be offended. Well, I was afraid I was going to run them off. Where are you going to run them off to? Hell number two. There ain't but one hell. They're already going the wrong direction. Come on now. Well, I was afraid they wouldn't come to church anymore. They already ain't coming to church. What difference does that make? Sometimes people will leave this church and go somewhere else because they get mad at me, and they'll join some other church and send unfaithful people, and they'll send their letter over here. And I said, what difference does it make which church they lay out of? They never came here, and they'll never go there either. But hell ain't like that. Now, I want to ask you, and I'm preaching to the church, okay? If you're a visitor, God bless you. I hope you're part of His church. But have you really done everything that you could do and said everything you could say and prayed every prayer you could pray and did every work you could work to keep those people that you love out of a devil's hell? I don't think we have. I don't think you ever will. I think till the day we die and go to heaven, we have a responsibility to cry aloud and spare not. And we have a responsibility to warn people of the damnation and the doom of an eternal hell. When was the last time y'all heard somebody preach about hell other than here? When was the last time you heard it on TV? When was the last time you had somebody walk up to you recently? Now, in years past they did, but when was the last time recently somebody walked up to you on the sidewalk or at the store or at the hospital or something and handed you a gospel tract and said, listen, I just want to give you this. God loves you. He wants to save you. Don't want you to go to hell. It's not done hardly at all anymore. You know why? It's hard work. Rick, it's hard to look at you and say, brother, sister, husband, wife, whatever the case may be, and say, I'm worried about you. I'm afraid you're not saved. You're going to hell when you die. I'm worried about you. That's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's easier to cuss somebody out. Come on. It's easier to fuss at them about their particular sin than it is to look at them and say, listen, I'm praying. I'm worried about you. I'm worried you're going to die and go to hell. Please don't go to hell. What can I do to keep you out of hell? The price has been paid. What can I do? What can I do? Help me here. What can I do? I love you. The rich man said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over there. I've got five brothers down at my daddy's house. And send him to tell about this place, because I wasted my stinking time and I didn't care enough when I was alive and I didn't try to do it. So please, God, send somebody else to tell them. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Now listen, God loves you. Hey, if you're not saved today, God loves you. He don't want you to go to hell. That's not your place. He's already got a place for you in heaven. Please don't go to hell. I beg you. We don't have church and sacrifice and give and spend time and prayers and all these things so that you'll go to hell. We do it so you won't. But I've got news for you. You won't go any other way than what we all went. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ. And then for you, listen, I know it's hard to raise children. And I know if they still be trying to live like children after they're 25 or 30 years old, it gets even harder. But I know this, I know you love them. I know you love them. And I know you want to tell them. What you need to do is ask God for holy boldness to look them in the eye and tell them.
Amen.
And far as your grandchildren, if you got room in your car and they'll let you pick them up, you'll have your children, your grandchildren in church. Because listen, they need to be exposed to the Word of God from the nursery on up. Do you care? Do you really care about that neighbor? Do you really care about that co-worker? Do you really care about people? Listen, the sign of your caring is how much you're telling. I know it's solemn today, and I started not to preach this, and I'll be honest with you, I struggled on it. I really struggled on it. But if I'm not going to tell you, who's going to tell you? Let's stand. Maybe you need to come on to the altar and ask God to give you some holy boldness.